Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. How do you divide up water from the Colorado River?
As we go and look towards the future, we're on this verge of crisis.
During an historic drought, we listened in as four states try to come up with a solution. Jenna Griswold's current job is up for grabs. This week, we ask two of the Democratic candidates for Secretary of State if they disagree with anything Griswold has done.
One of the things I'm really excited to expand on is support for clerks.
The nation's highest court will decide whether citizens can sue federal officers.
A lot of legal experts are very concerned about this case.
We look at what the impact could be in Colorado. And a teacher with a passion for the outdoors gets recognized at the national level.
It brought to light to me that the work that I'm doing makes a difference.
We can make a difference here too, because this is Next. You ever hear someone say, that meeting could have been an email? We were at a meeting today that could have been a days-long convention. Four of the states that rely on water from the Colorado River met today to try to figure out what comes next in the middle of an historic drought. It didn't get solved in a three-hour meeting, particularly because not all seven states were represented, but our Mark Salinger was there.
Of all the meetings happening in downtown buildings today.
All right, I'd like to call the...
This might be the most impactful.
Regular meeting of the Upper Colorado River Commission to order.
The people sitting around these tables represent the Upper Colorado River states. Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah. They're tasked with a daunting feat.
The facts on the river in Colorado are dire this year. The reason you all are in this room is because it is dire.
Commissioner Rebecca Mitchell represents Colorado. The drought impacting our state and much of the West has left the Colorado River low on water. On top of that, the seven states that get water from the river need to agree on new operating rules by October 1st. So far, the lower basin states and the upper basin states haven't come to a consensus.
As there is less water available, those conversations are not enjoyable because they're hard and they require hard choices.
Critical reservoirs like Lake Powell are dangerously low.
Conditions at Lake Powell are extremely dire.
As the commissioners in this room all agree on the brutal reality.
This year is one of the worst, if not the worst, hydrologic years on record.
The situation in the basin is not okay.
I'm a broken record, I understand, but I want you all to recognize the significance and severity of the things we're dealing with. Totally unprecedented.
Today's meeting emphasized that, but a long-term solution needs all seven states.
I hope we don't have a future where we continue to release more than comes into the system, because that's just not going to work.
The core dispute between the upper and the lower basin states is still who should take the deeper cuts during water shortages and whether the upper basin states must accept firm reduction commitments. The states have blown through deadlines in the past to come up with a deal. The original hope, Marshall, was that there would be a deal towards the first couple months of this year.
Since it's called the Colorado River, I assume Colorado wins no matter what. So what happens if there's no agreement?
Well, if there is no agreement, then the federal government starts enacting what they believe should be to divide up the water for all the states. That, of course, could lead to a lot of litigation. Hopefully that won't happen, but it very well could, Marshall.
And I know Colorado does not automatically win because our name is in it. Thank you, Mark. We're going to get some water, we believe, in different forms tonight in a rare situation. Chris Bianchi, do we not need to set any kind of sound machines tonight because Mother Nature's got her own sound machine going for us tonight?
Yeah, especially if you're north and east of Denver, you might be hearing the pitter-patter of icy golf balls on your roof tonight. We got that threat for severe weather and specifically large hail. We've got some storms developing. Severe thunderstorm watch, which means conditions favorable for severe weather between now and 1 o'clock in the morning. It's unusual to have a severe thunderstorm warning running all the way till 1 a.m. South and east of Denver already got these storms, some moving out of Colorado Springs, then some up here into parts of Lincoln and Washington counties here on the eastern plains. These storms will continue to push off to the east, and that will eventually help redevelop some storms off to the west. Point being, here in Denver, it will most likely be calm for the next few hours. Those storms will kick up after about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock this evening, and then we'll see those storms with a large hail threat continuing to the early morning hours. 7-day forecast, we have a potential impact alert again tomorrow and Thursday with the possibility for more strong to severe storms both afternoons before we finally dry out and warm up both days this weekend. Final thing I want to leave you with is that highest risk for a large hail. Just want to specify between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. on the north and east side of the metro area. The majority of Denver will not see a large storm tonight. It'll be, again, that highest risk on the north and east sides of the metro area, including the airport.
1 week until Election Day, and one of the contested races on the Democratic ballot is for Secretary of State. Jenna Griswold is term limited. Seeking to replace her are Jefferson County Clerk Amanda Gonzalez and State Senator Jesse Danielson. You'll hear from Danielson tomorrow. But tonight, our next conversation begins with Amanda Gonzalez. What's the best thing that you think Jenna Griswold has done as Secretary of State?
When I talk to voters, some of the things that they are most appreciative of is that they can trust that she was standing up for the Colorado way of voting. We've seen attacks from our national government, and that is really unfortunate. And voters have been able to trust that she is going to defend mail ballots, which is exactly what I would do as well.
What's something that Griswold has done that you disagree with?
One of the things I'm really excited to expand on is support for clerks, right? So I'm in Jefferson County, which is one of the largest counties in the state. I'm the only person who is running for Secretary of State who has run a large governmental office. So I've got 115 full-time employees and up to 1,000 election judges during a presidential, right? For comparison, the Secretary of State's office is somewhere around 145 employees. And I have dramatically expanded communications internally, but that's because I have the staff to do that. And so I'm really excited to use the Secretary's office to better support local communities to make sure that they have the tools that they need.
I need to ask you about support for clerks because all clerks are part of the Colorado County Clerks Association, which supports clerks across the state. I've talked with clerks who tell me that you tried to start a separate county clerks association. So my question is, at a time when the president's trying to instill doubt and division regarding elections, why did you try to separate the county clerks association?
Yeah, so a point of clarification there. It wasn't about separating. It was about adding an additional voice. So the metro clerks, Denver, Arapahoe, Adams, we were all having conversations about representation at the Capitol for folks who were in our communities and making sure that there was that kind of representation. So it was about adding voices and making sure that everyone was heard. No one was talking about leaving the association.
What does that mean, adding voices?
Yeah, so there are a number of organizations. I think there are multiple organizations for our Board of County Commissioners, right? And so similar to that model is having additional organizations to make sure that every voice is heard.
That sounds like a different organization. That sounds like something you'd call something, something, something association.
Sure, yeah, it would be an additional association.
Later in the program, we'll continue our conversation with Gonzalez about Colorado potentially redrawing new congressional districts like other blue states are doing in response to red states, a move that would override an independent redistricting law she helped write. Federal officers still have to follow the law. But legal experts will tell you it's extremely difficult to sue them if you feel your rights are violated. With the U.S. Supreme Court this week agreeing to take another case on that topic, it could make taking federal officers to court even harder. Here's Angeline McCall.
Just announced this week, the Supreme Court will hear a case about whether people can sue federal officials for violating their constitutional rights.
A lot of legal experts are very concerned about this case.
CU Associate Professor Jonathan Booth already predicts how it will go.
So it will only make it even more difficult than it already is to bring one of these suits successfully.
The case specifically targets an inmate's ability to sue if their constitutional rights are violated in custody. The Supreme Court could potentially widen the scope to look at anyone's ability to sue federal officers, which immediately made us think of Senate Bill 5, passed by legislators this year here in Colorado.
The governor vetoed the bill, and it's absurd. I cannot understand why.
Democratic state rep and prime sponsor Javier Mabry worked on that bill that would have allowed lawsuits against federal immigration officers.
And at a time when the vice president of the United States is saying that ICE agents can go door to door looking for our neighbors without a warrant, In clear violation of the Fourth Amendment, it's critical that the state of Colorado step up and pass a law to protect our neighbors.
The Supreme Court's ruling could further narrow legal pathways for those seeking damages. Mabry says Colorado will have to close that gap.
That we're talking about is authority under federal law. Now, the issue at hand, of course, is federal liability. But I don't think we need to wait for a Supreme Court that has time and time again showed that they're willing to whittle down our rights.
As a conservative majority on the Supreme Court could limit those lawsuits, Booth says we could see states like Colorado coming up with their own solutions as long as they're not vetoed.
I think that's even more reason for states to step in and protect the civil rights of their residents.
Democratic Governor Jared Polis said in his veto letter he believed Senate Bill 5 carried legal risks and was too narrowly focused on civil immigration enforcement. He argued legislators should actually pass a broader version of the bill that applies to more federal officers. Marshall?
Angeline, any reason to believe that SCOTUS taking this case will scare state lawmakers away from trying again and not getting a veto from the next governor?
Representative Mabry said that he'll try again next year, day one, to pass something similar. Would it be more broad? We saw California do that when there was a similar challenge in their courts. So maybe this could be a compromise or even a broader bill next year.
All right, we'll keep our eye on it. Thank you, Angeline. A ballot issue to spend more money on roads will be in front of voters in November. What won't be printed is the part about state lawmakers circumcising the ballot issue before you even vote on it.
The award means a lot to me because it helps me realize that what I'm doing makes a difference.
A Colorado teacher gets recognized at the national level for combining her love for education with her love for the environment. Colorado voters could be asked to temporarily redraw the state's 8 congressional districts in response to red states doing the same. Amanda Gonzalez helped write the law that created an independent commission to draw the maps. And she supports Colorado shifting from an even 4-4 split in Congress to a map with potentially 7 Democrats and 1 Republican. Our next conversation continues with the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State.
We are watching gerrymandering happen in really unfair ways all over the country. And that impacts whether or not Coloradans can have a voice at the national level. And so I do think that we need to look at temporary measures that ensure that Coloradans continue to have a voice at the national level, regardless of what is happening in other states.
But you helped write the law that took politicians out of map making. Are you comfortable being the elected official that puts them back, that supports putting them back into it?
Only with really strong guardrails. We have to meet the moment, and it is not okay to just say, oh gosh, there's this bad thing that is happening because of what Texas is doing, right? We have to make sure that we are heard. We cannot silence Coloradans. So yes, we have to have temporary policies that get us through the next few years. And then on the other side of it, we have to build something better.
Would you support Colorado ditching partisan primaries and having one open primary with candidates from all political affiliations?
I think what we have now is largely working. I like that unaffiliated voters are able to vote in whatever primary they choose and that we have one for Democrats and Republicans.
You can see my full 25-minute conversation with Amanda Gonzalez on the next YouTube channel at 9news.com, and tomorrow we'll hear from Jesse Danielson. A ballot issue that would force state lawmakers to fund road projects just qualified for the November ballot. But Democrats at the state capitol passed a bill to essentially kneecap this ballot measure if voters were to approve it. The ballot question essentially asks voters to require the state to spend road taxes and fees on roads instead of things like bike lanes and transit. Conservative group Advance Colorado, backed by construction companies, collected enough signatures to get this on the ballot. But as we have reported, Democratic state lawmakers passed a bill before the end of the legislative session to reduce certain taxes and fees for the next 4 years if voters say yes to this ballot issue. So if this passes, vehicle registration fees would drop. The 6-cent gas fee would drop, and the end result is drivers pay a little less, the state takes in fewer dollars, Tabor refunds get reduced or go away, and the state essentially neuters the ballot issue. In a statement late today, the group behind the ballot issue that wants road funding and road repairs said, "The silver lining is that over those 4 years of stalled road repairs, Coloradans will receive more than or close to $2 billion in tax and fee relief." Well, tax and fee relief isn't the intent of their ballot issue, but okay. A compost program, an outdoor classroom, and hands-on teaching all led a teacher in Longmont to get an environmental award from the White House. That's next. A Longmont teacher just received one of the nation's highest honors for environmental education, proving that caring about the environment still means something in Washington. Our Byron Reed has her story.
Stacy Wolf loves the outdoors.
I am packing for my Grand Canyon trip.
She says there's nothing about being outside she doesn't like.
That'll be 2 weeks on the river, so I need to be prepared for hot weather and being wet.
Wolf is a science lab teacher at Flagstaff Academy in Longmont, where her passion has earned her national recognition.
I was recognized by the EPA for my contributions in environmental education as a K-12 educator. This is my presidential award.
She received the 2026 Presidential Innovation Award for Environmental Educators, an honor presented by the White House Council on Environmental Quality and the EPA.
I was really excited, and I was also really surprised because there are so many people doing so many amazing things, and it's really humbling to be part of a group that is trying to create positive change.
Wolf was the only teacher this year from Colorado to win the award from EPA's Region 8, which includes Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming.
There were all these essay questions that I had to answer and submit lesson plans that I had written and get letters of recommendation.
She's being recognized for creating hands-on lessons like their program called Picky Pig that composts food waste into fertilizer.
I think it's really important for students to understand their connectivity within the community.
From building a student-designed outdoor classroom to leading service projects that include families, she believes it's all about connectivity.
Whether or not you figure out the answers, you're still engaged in that process of learning, and that in and of itself to me is environmental education and understanding the connection.
Wolf says the lessons she learns from 2 weeks through the Grand Canyon will be an experience she's passionate about bringing back to her classroom.
I have an opportunity to make positive change and have a voice, and I'm enabling the kids to do that as well.
For Next,
I love it all.
I'm Byron Reed.
Zvi is telling me the feedback is attacking the tie clip. It would be only the second time ever, but also like the second time in a row. We'll be back with what it says, maybe. Yeah. A couple unnamed text messages to talk about. How is Wyoming part of the Colorado River Commission? Because melted snow from Wyoming ends up in the Colorado River. That's how. And this one, I'm getting hit here. Marshall's tie pin has to be changed. It doesn't look professional. Well, the only thing I can change this one to are six other options that look identical to this. I'll see you next time with another one.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.